Good morning, everybody. November 18th today, 2021. We are creeping up here just a week from Thanksgiving. Had that big potluck dinner last night. If you were there, you had a treat. That meat was amazing. Turkey, brisket, chicken, buffalo chicken. Oh my gosh, so much delicious food. And of course, all the pies and the cupcakes. If you have not had the chance to get out to your own Thanksgiving potluck dinner, be it at a church or a youth group or any kind of club, school, what have you, then that's too bad for you, because I love a good potluck, don't you? So good. Right, lots going on today, lots in the news. We will take a look at the news in the next episode of this podcast tomorrow on Friday, wrap it all up for the week. Today, we are going to be completing our trilogy of mind reading podcasts. And 2 days ago, you can go find that episode where we talk about how close we are to mind reading and the specific techniques that we have for it and the wonderful, amazing success people have had. If you're not aware, we can detect words that are being thought in a head with the proper preparation. We can detect images. We can detect locations that are being recalled in a person's brain with the proper preparation and the proper tools. Go and listen to that podcast and see if you are not up on the advances in that technology. Then yesterday we took time out for some poetry, did the mind reader, of course, Richard Wilbur and Daniel. Oh, so embarrassing. Daniel Galef, I called him David yesterday. I'm so sorry, Daniel. And then today we're going to speculate. We're going to speculate on where this is all taking us. We're going to divide it up into two parts. First of all, the two parts will be early and late. First of all, we'll look at the early part where this sort of mind scanning technology that's on the near horizon is possible. The sort of wave your phone at somebody's head and get some sort of reading out of that, some sort of rudimentary information about their cognitive state or emotional state or perceptive state, something like that. And then the later part, we'll go into full-blown science fiction telepathic type stuff. Let's start with the near horizon. The early advent of this mind reading technology. Well, you know, it's just like what we have now, but it'll be portable, it'll be more accurate, it will be faster. So what does that mean? It means maybe you could wave your phone, maybe you'll have some other device, but let's be honest, everything's included in our phone these days, right? Flashlights, cameras, various marital aids, they're all included in your phone right now. They are. Everything. All these old machines that we used to have. Copy machines you hardly even need anymore, right? Because you just take a picture of it and you send the person the picture. Organic molecules, organic nomenclature for organic chemistry. You hardly even need that, right? Because you just take a picture of the molecule and send it to the other person. These phones are replacing so many different machines that we used to have out there. And that's one reason why people say, oh, phones are so resource intensive. They take all these rare earth metals. They require all this work. Yeah, but they're replacing so many different machines that we used to have taking up shelf space. Anyway, so in the early horizon, near horizon of these mind reading technology, we'll say it's your phone and you just wave it at somebody's head and what can you learn? Well, you can learn if they're feeling physical pain or not. You can learn if they're moving their hands or their feet or if they're at rest. You can tell if they're listening to music or not. You can probably tell if they're bored to death by yet another Olivia Rodrigo breakup song or not. You could learn a lot about people's tastes. Finally, instead of saying there's no accounting for taste, you could say, actually, there is some accounting. I'll just hold up my phone here and you can start to do some really interesting taste studies that way, I would say, right? You could do some more complicated things as this goes on, right? Those basic things would be what I just listed. And then as maybe 5 years, 10 years after that, came along, you could do a little more complicated things. You could see if someone's reading a book, talking, playing a video game, maybe stunned by Riot dropping a new RPG out of nowhere, as happened yesterday. Holy cow. Who saw that coming? I guess my former student who works for Riot saw that coming. Anyway, and then you can go on from there, tell if people are lying, tell if there's some sexual attraction, tell if somebody's nervous, right? Can you imagine all the kids in homeroom there? Should I ask her to prom? I don't know. Let me wave my phone at her head first, right? And you walk into a classroom and everybody's surreptitiously, you know, scanning each other, waving their phones at each other, trying to figure out who wrote Fugly Ho in the burn book last night. And then maybe even another 5 years past that, I would still group this in the near horizon, because you're still just sort of using a device to scan someone else's mental state. You could maybe sort of the last stage of that, you could scan, see exactly what words somebody's thinking of, what images they're thinking of, who they're thinking of, experiences, if they're using their ESPN to see if it's going to rain, things like that, what's running through their mind. That would kind of ruin the whole Cyrano de Bergerac thing, wouldn't it? Real quickly. Yeah, you didn't write that. You're out of here. Next, it would also put Fareed Zakaria out of a job too, maybe, right? Plagiarizing. Next. Actually, how does he still have a job, right? How does that guy still have a job? We didn't even need mind reading to figure out that those weren't his real words. Come on, Fareed. Step down. I'm calling on you. Called on you 8 years ago to step down. Didn't help then. I'm sure it's not going to help now. All right. So that would be the limits of this early mind reading technology. That's the stuff that's more likely to happen. I'm still not saying it's above 50% probability. In fact, I think it's below that. Maybe 10%, 15% chance you'll see tech like this by the year 2050. But that's not a small chance, right? 10% or 15%, that is not small, that is not negligible, especially because the magnitude of the effects would be so great that the word revolutionary is not out of the question. So let's speculate on what such a world would look like, this world where you can just wave your phone at someone's head and see on the low end if they're hearing music or moving their feet or driving. On the high end, maybe what their emotional state is, what's causing the emotional state, what words or images running through their minds, if their favorite Outer Banks character is John B., or if they're insane and they like JJ better. I mean, you'd have to be, right? JJ, come on. Come on. John B., so much better. All right, so the first thing about this future world, right, is that obviously there is going to be an arms race, right? Well, obviously we got an arms race out here in Lincoln Park. So, and it's not just an arms race among nations. I really mean it. It's going to be out there in Lincoln Park. It's going to be everywhere, from the burbs to the jets, from the farms to the subways. It's going to be everywhere, where you have this arms race. It's not going to be just, you know, Joe Biden talking to his advisors. Okay, now I really want you to tell me what Putin's thinking here. I'll give you a hint, Joe. He's not picturing you shirtless riding a Russian bear through the tundra. Okay? That's not it, Joe. Okay. You know, it's going to be that, but it's going to be private citizens and trying to prevent randos from reading their thoughts. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. Privacy is a cherished right. Your mental fortress, your heaven there. People are going to be wanting to choose with whom they share the keys to their mental fortress. And at the start, that's going to be pretty easy to do. It's going to be pretty easy to defend it, because if you look at the way a lot of this tech works right now, and that's why I say in the easy, at the beginning of all this, it's going to be pretty easy to defend, because you can just wiggle your toes, right? Just wiggle your toes, and that's going to defeat some of it, because that puts you in a different mental state than if you're wiggling your fingers, right? Or you wiggle your fingers and your toes to distract from something else. A lot of these new current mind reading technologies depend on reading the parts of your brain that are just controlling motor functions. And so if you use all kinds of different motor functions at the same time, you're going to confuse it. It's going to be hard for you. You know, think of hacking Thanos's arm right off, and you're going to be messing up whoever's trying to detect if you're really carrying the secrets to the nuclear codes or something like that. So eventually, though, not too fast, the computers are going to learn that, right? The computers are going to recognize signals like that. It's almost like the little CAPTCHA things here. Click on the ones with the traffic lights. Click on the pictures with the vans or the trucks. And remember, you know, 10 years ago, it used to be click on the one that says a word or type out what it is saying here. Computers figured out how to do that. So we had to move on to harder CAPTCHAs. And that's going to be similar to what happens with the telepathic world here, or the early mind scanning world, because the computer, the real trick here is not the hardware, right? Remember, what's amazing about this mind reading technology is that it's not based on the hardware. We're using EEGs, we're using TMS, we're using MRIs, fMRI. We are using, you know, pulse oximetry. These sorts of things are not breakthroughs in hardware. The real breakthrough here is the machine learning, the artificial intelligence, the specific rather than general artificial intelligence that can take this huge amount of noise, staggering amount of noise, and extract a useful signal from it. That's where the real breakthrough is. So that breakthrough is going to continue, right? And the machine language, the machine learning, I'm back in the assembly days with my Commodore 64 in 1983. Machine language. Oh, those were the days, weren't it? Pokes in memory locations, those were the days. So the machine learning, rather, will learn to process those signals, and it will learn to defeat such simple defensive measures as wiggling your feet, wiggling your toes, imagining that you are playing volleyball against Megan Fox right before the Met Gala, right? That sort of device, that sort of defense, will fall by the wayside reasonably soon. But then it'll be an arms race, right? And then you get more defenses, right? Some of them still won't be too hard. Maybe you could have AirPods playing random static in your ears. Wouldn't that be pleasant? Harrison Bergeron type stuff. Or, you know, you could drink variable amount of caffeine and mess up your baseline if you are working with some sort of mind scanning tech that establishes a baseline first. You could have bright lights. You could even have, dare I say it, the proverbial tinfoil hat, right? Baseball cap, some random EM emitters in it. That's going to cause some problems. They're not random EM emitters, but very specific EM emitters emitting random signals. That could cause some havoc with anybody trying to scan your head. It really, really could. It sounds crazy stuff. But go out there and look at the tech. It's really not that far away, right? We have the ability to pull out words and locations and recalled items from people's scans. We have that right now. So go look and read about that if you're not aware. Of course, the reliable ones right now do require preparation, do require a baseline state to measure from. So, I mean, you could even imagine hairspray, right? Mind reading defensive hairspray could happen if you don't want to be wearing a cap that day. Yeah, so that's going to be the first thing. Obviously, there will be an arms race, and they'll oscillate back and forth, and they will come eventually to some non-zero equilibrium where the effectiveness of the reader, the scanners, and the effectiveness of the defenses are balanced. And it won't be at 100% effectiveness, but it won't be at 0% either. In fact, you know, I would probably say it's going to be significantly low, right? In the next 4 to 8 decades that we're talking about here, the effectiveness of the defenses will be high enough that attempting to read a defended individual will be, I would say, at most 10% as effective as reading a non-defended individual. That's how effective I think it will be. We will see. We will see, especially in the early days. I think it's going to be reasonably easy just because of the sensitivity required by the technology. I think it's going to be pretty easy to defeat that technology and get that noise in there and mess it up. The nascent state, the inchoate state of the technology lends itself to being easily defeated over the next 4 to 8 decades. But it's still very, very interesting to think about what will go on during this time, because not everybody will want to be defended against everybody else. Now, one way that might happen is right in a court of law, right? Legally, if you can detect that a mind is experiencing some pain, then you can detect, oh, chronic fatigue syndrome, conditions like that. Are they really debilitating to the patient? Is he really in pain, or is he a faker like that girl down in Florida who claimed she couldn't stop sneezing? Remember that? Achoo, achoo. That's about how realistic that sounded, too. Let me tell you, a girl down in Florida, she's probably like 40 years old now. So in a lawsuit, right, you can just, you know, mental anguish, physical pain. How much physical pain is this brain experiencing? We could detect that. We can detect malingerers. So tremendously enhanced lie detectors also. The lie detector is enough to be used in court? Well, probably not, and let's hope not, because for one, there's always some error. But number two, more importantly even, and the more civilized countries among us recognize that there is a right to be free from self-incrimination. So mind scanning would fall into self-incrimination, I think. In fact, I sure hope it does. It definitely does, whether or not it'll be recognized that way. You never know, but I think it will be. So it would really come down to the voluntary type of situation in court where you relax your defenses, you allow yourself to be scanned because you're trying to make a pain, trying to make a case, trying to, as some sort of plaintiff, make a case for damages. I think that mind reading there could have a profound impact. Next, obviously, the next person you might want to let your defenses down with, of course, is someone that you are in a relationship with. Yeah, this could kind of be the ultimate swipe right. It doesn't have to be an established relationship. It could be that you're looking. Could be a potential for a relationship. And then the app can swipe right for you, right? You don't have to swipe. The app will read your mind and see who you're interested in and what you're thinking. And then the similar app is scanning somebody else's mind on her own phone or his own phone. And maybe it's going to start pinging you if somebody near you is imagining you in a hot tub with Barry White music playing, right? You can do different settings, right? Ping me if someone is imagining me on a dinner date. Ping me if somebody's around here detecting, if you detect someone around here imagining my face on the rock's body, right? Ping me if somebody is also thinking of that same Billie Eilish fanfic piece that I wrote last night, right? There's great potential to bring people together. There's also potential to push people apart, right? Maybe don't ping me. Don't swipe right. Or maybe send in a fake call from my dying grandma or something if my date here is already imagining me walking down the aisle with them, right? If you detect wedding bells in this date, in my date's head, right, maybe you want to get the heck out of there right away. Who knows? Who knows? But romantic relationships either way, bringing together, pushing apart, if you're not compatible, they're going to be more efficient, right? You can see the potential here for accelerating the time scale as far as finding out whether your relationship is going to work or not. And then once you do get into a long-term scanning, mind reading type of relationship, where would this early sort of mind tech take you? Well, I think polyamory might increase, right? People would feel maybe more secure, maybe less jealousy, maybe more honesty, willing to explore that as long as you have some sort of electronic assurance. People do trust the data. Despite everybody saying people don't trust science, people don't trust whatever technology, they obviously do. They welcome it into their lives. Technology's taken over, man. The internet is terraforming for general AI. Never forget that. It's coming. So yeah, polyamory might increase as trust increases. And so, you know, another long-term relationship thing is that they'll probably be more stable because the breakups will occur first and will occur quickly. And if you've gotten to a point where you are at a long-term relationship, probably going to be much more stable. Next thing, sorting problems, right, will be much easier. Better matches, probably long-term relationships, not just more stable, but in general, more pleasing, more pleasant, happier. Number four, last one I'll give you here for relationships here. I think that the proportion of the scanning relationships will grow over time. Certainly at the beginning, some people will be reluctant. There are always people who are hesitant to do that. But just as people adopted the internet, can't live without it, this basic mind reading technology on a voluntary basis, I think will gradually gain more and more market share, so to speak, in the realm of relationships, right? Just because it's successful, people that have this will be generally in more stable, long-term, more happier long-term relationships, and people will want that, but also just the natural desire to know what someone else really thinks. Now, sure, there's that counter desire, that Shakespearean negative, that imp of the perverse in the sense that Poe used it, where you're like, ooh, maybe I don't really want to know, or maybe I do want to know and destroy everything. But overall, I think the desire to know what other people really think will win out, especially because the potential is there. It's not all going to be negative. In fact, a lot of it's going to be positive, and the desire for closeness and the desire for intimacy will drive this scanning to happen, right? Think about it. Would you want would you want your partner to be scanning you right now? I definitely would, right? I think there's a lot of times when my wife doesn't get me, and I think scanning would help with that. I think that people have good intentions, but they are often mistaken for bad intentions, and this early form of mind reading would help with that. Work. Well, I really don't think that, let's go into a new topic here, work and labor and professional life. In this early stage here, next 4 to 8 decades, if this technology does come to fruition, I actually don't think it will be used too much in the office. It's too sticky legally. I don't see our legal climate changing. I don't see any revolution in jurisprudence that is going to reestablish personal responsibility. I think that the liability issues here are going to keep it out. I think that it will be adopted at home, this mind reading technology, and in private lives before it comes into work, right? I think that there will be many other upheavals during the next 40 to 80 years, right? We seem to have at least one big event still happening every decade or two, the pandemic, 9/11, Fukushima's book, The End of History in the 1990s, was silly when it was published, and it looks even sillier now. There's no end of history. So I think that this mind reading technology really won't impact work too much, because there'll be so much other stuff going on, so many other upheavals going on, and the advantages, and there would be many, that you could have really won't be accepted in work, because the costs and the potential liabilities would outweigh those advantages, right? You know, that's what we're seeing right now in self-driving cars. We could be fielding self-driving cars all over the road right now. It could be saving about 20,000 lives per year, at least 10,000 lives per year. But because of the cost to the companies that would be there, because of liabilities, when a self-driving car would run someone over, inevitably it would happen. Nobody wants to deal with that. Nobody wants to deal with the thorny legal issues. So we're just avoiding it completely. And I think that same sort of thing, same risk-averse nature goes on with all these different wonderful drugs that could happen out there, but the FDA won't let them go through because of fear of what is going to happen, you know, legally, and fear of being responsible for it. So yeah, same thing I predict will happen with mind reading technology. It won't get into the workplace too much outside of niche jobs like, you know, entertainment industry, everything from video games to porn, right, will adopt it. Let's go on to politics here. Again, just the short-term horizon, not full telepathy. We're just talking about being able to get some information out of some other mind that is choosing to not be defended by scanning it with a phone, something like that. So in politics, right, there will be plenty of uses in politics. Polls, right? They're not just going to do some poll. Oh, do you like Coke better? Do you like Pepsi better? Do you think that Biden should actually not say things like the commuter and the computer will jump off, and I don't know, whatever he said about the train and the computer train the other day that made absolutely no sense. They're not just going to do polls like that anymore. The polls will become much more accurate because people love to be in those polls, right? People love to share their feelings, and they will volunteer to have their minds scanned and verify that they actually feel what they're saying. So that's going to be there. Also, I'm going to say that the mind reading, this might surprise some people, this mind reading tech will actually be more adopted on the right than on the left. Now, I don't subscribe to this one axis political approach either. I don't think we should just be viewing things from the left to the right. We should also have vertical axis in there, from the anti-statist to the statist. This is the PCM, the political compass map, right? Not just left to right axis. But if we do confine ourselves to a single dimension, then I think that the right would actually be more likely to adopt this technology, because the right is generally more individualist. The right is generally less about control. The left is going to want this to be under control. The left is going to want, and what that means is government control, and the government's going to be slow to push this out there. And so the right, with their instinctual recoil from all things federal, I think the right will be the quicker adopters of this technology. And of course, if you do introduce the other axis, the libertarians will be the absolute first to be out there adopting it. Yeah, and the right will say, you know, right to privacy, individual rights, right to contract, right to business, right to do what we want, and that will lead them to adopt it. Meanwhile, the left will be out there and saying, you're being reckless, you're invading privacy, and frankly, you're racist because of reasons. I don't know. There'll be some racist reason, absolutely some racist reason, some classist reason that mind-reading technology can't be adopted, maybe because it's expensive and it's only available to the elites or the middle class, or maybe because, you know, in one random study, Asians were overrepresented by 0.5%. And then the other thing about politics, by the way, is that the regulation won't be there. That's not going to change, right? The government wasn't ready for the internet. It wasn't ready for crypto. It won't be ready for mind reading. So it's going to be Wild West out there for a few years. And people will make bank on that Wild West, just like they did in the 1990s. A few other areas here, transportation. Obviously, to make self-driving cars more efficient, you will have public transportation take leaps and bounds ahead with this mind scanning technology, because you can just think of your destination. You won't have to stand up and pull any cord or push any button or anything like that. The self-driving car can just detect where it needs to drop you off. It can also detect where the other cars around it are going, or the people in them are desiring to go, and traffic will be coordinated. Remember, this is largely a software problem, and software is really good at coordination. So, yeah, much easier there. Communication, so much easier to control computers. In fact, in a lot of fields, right? It's like that Lego movie song. Everything is awesome. It really is this early stage of mind reading technology. It really does hold the potential for some huge advancement. And certainly people will be scared. There will be this fearful reaction, some Luddite reaction against it. And there will be accidents. There will be murders, right? When people get jealous, when they see what their partner is really thinking. Or, you know, do you really like Chipotle better than Chick-fil-A? Ah, you die. not to make light of it, they're really, I mean, yes, to make light of it, but it is a serious problem, and that could sort of deep six the whole thing. But I don't think it will, because I think that this, like crypto, like the internet, it's going to be enough of a surprise for people that it's going to be there, and it's going to get out of the box, out of the bag. And you can't stuff it back in Pandora's box once everything is out. So, there will be some outrageous liability arguments there, but there are also just some that, and the liability arguments that would go against developing this, but there's also some pretty powerful evolutionary arguments against it, right? If you don't adopt this mind scanning technology, then the only ones who have it out there are going to be the Chinese bioengineered Ender Wigginsons. And right, if you don't think that China's out there doing superhuman genetic experiments right now, then you might be right. You might be right. But to me, when I look at that, and there have even been, some news coming out of there that that points in this direction, but right, if you're thinking that, hey, Zhang Hui was acting alone, I don't know, that's right up there with Epstein didn't kill himself. Hey, Zhang Hui wasn't acting alone. The odds are strongly against it. Could Epstein have killed himself? Yeah, absolutely. He definitely could have. Maybe that is the best explanation. But just like it's the chocolate factory argument with Wuhan, sort of the simplest argument, what Occam's razor would lend you to believe, and it's not always right. But it sure doesn't seem like he killed himself. And hey, Zhang Hui, it sure doesn't seem like he was acting alone. The scale of those types of experiments precludes the solitary guy just wandering around all day tinkering in his lab. It's possible. It is absolutely possible. We don't know for sure. It would be great to have evidence one way or another. But I mean, hey, Zhang Hui, he did not strike me as an academic maverick. He's about as maverick as Gretchen Wieners. Steven Pinker, Camille Polly, okay, maybe you can give him a maverick tag. Not hey, Zhang Hui, in my opinion. So I think there are some evolutionary forces that are going to drive the adoption of this mind scanning technology. You're going to be left behind in the tech race if you don't adopt it. My opinion, my view of the future. That's where we're going to end it today. Tomorrow, we will round up the news and we will also talk about that second piece. I promised you at the start of today's podcast that we would look at both the early and the late stages of mind reading technology. The early stages, like I was just saying now, is you're scanning somebody else's mind, you're getting some information out of it. The second advanced stage will be direct brain-to-brain type stuff. And of course, we already do have the beginnings of that. I'll talk about that again when we get to it. But you look at that Strasbourg-Barcelona study, right, from Carlos Grau in 2014. And, you can send signals from a brain directly to another brain. It's been done. It's been done as far back as 2014. They had a person, where was it, in Australia, somewhere over there, and just an EEG with machine learning software to translate the EEG signals, took the EEG signals out, and the signals were just if you're moving your hands, it's a one, if you're moving your feet, it's a zero, and took that signal out of the brain, sent it over the internet, and sent it directly into the brain of somebody else. How? Well, they use transcranial magnetic stimulation. And you do that and you send the magnetic signal into the brain, into the part of the brain that controls vision, and you can generate phosphenes, right? Phosphenes are these bright flashes in your vision, right? If you press the sides of your eyes, you can see a phosphene. And you can make phosphenes appear in someone's vision by the right type of magnetic field being sent transcranially. So that's what happened in this 2014 study from Carlos Grau and other people. They had a guy over, one person over in like Australia or Singapore or somewhere in that area, rough area. Obviously, they're not right next to each other. Somewhere way over there. And they sent it all the way across the earth over the internet to three people receiving the signals in maybe it was Switzerland somewhere, not sure, somewhere in Europe. And these three people received the signals over the internet, and it didn't, you know, they didn't read anything. They didn't feel anything in their hands. No, it came straight into their vision through the transcranial magnetic stimulation. The signals came in, and the magnetic fields made these flashes appear in these people's vision directly into their brain, not coming into their brain through normal senses at all. And the flashes appeared in their vision in Morse code, right? One or a zero, maybe not Morse code, but binary information, I should say. One or a zero, and they were able to get information out of that. So, you know, that's direct brain-to-brain communication in 2014. We'll talk about that sort of advanced stage, brain-to-brain communication, brain-to-brain information transfer, when we get back to this tomorrow, along with the news roundup tomorrow. In the meantime, I hope you have a great day. Please remember to subscribe. Please remember to send me some feedback. I crave that feedback, what I'm doing wrong, what's boring you, what is not boring you. I need to know. Oh, if only we had brain-to-brain information. I could just read your brain or scan your brain if we even just had that. All right, guys. Take care.